But if you have your Bibles tonight, James chapter 1, just by way of reminder, not this coming week, but the week after that, VBS week, there'll be no visitation supper or visitation that week on Wednesday night. Keep that in mind. The kitchen's used and it makes it very difficult. So we'll have visitation materials out here on the information center, on the welcome center. And that way you can pick it up and make a couple visits that way if you would. I appreciate all those that have come so faithfully this summer. And I trust that more of you will get involved with that to be able to be a testimony to those around our neighborhoods that we can share the gospel with them. James chapter 1, this is a fundamental issue tonight for all of us. The subject tonight is really temptation, how we handle it, and God's desire for us. Notice, if you would, James chapter 1, verse 12. Verse 12 goes through with verse number 16. They all go together. And I want you to see as we read it, blessed is the man, verse 12, that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So you see the motivation for turning away from temptation is the love of God. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now I want you to notice that James is about Christians looking at themselves. So tonight, if you'll notice, take the mirror of the Word of God and look into your own heart. Don't look to the person to your right or your left, your mate, but look into your own heart. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So you can do that tonight. You can just sort of hear it and skip over it. I came to church this morning and somebody said, you know, Pastor, when you got up this morning, you didn't comb your hair. And I thought for a minute and I said, oh, that's funny, you know. I mean, it just caught me off guard there for a second. No one wants to get out of bed and not comb your hair. And no one wants to get out of bed and not look your best. And so the Word of God is the mirror that we used to change that which needs to be changed in our lives. So notice, if you would, in verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. God provides a blessing to people that endure. In other words, they face a temptation, say no to it, come out on the other side stronger. God says, blessed is that man. Now notice, for when he is tried. The word tried is dokimos in the Greek text, which means when he's approved, when he passes the test. When he is tried, the idea is when you've taken the test and passed it, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, the crown of life is for every one of us that pass the tests of life. Now, a test is not something God intends for us to fail. If you could take a coin, you got heads and you got tails. It'll take one side heads. The old devil wants us to fail. So it is a trial. It is a temptation. We're going to get that in a minute. But God, on the other side, wants us to pass. It is a test that he is pulling for us with. He wants us to succeed. No good teacher gives out an exam to her students and prays for them to fail. They give out the exam and pray for them to pass, that you learn the lessons you've been taught. And God wants us to learn the lessons we've been taught. But God does not pass out the test sheets. The old devil does. And he always passed them out. So that's reading, you'll notice, if you would, in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Now, the word tempted here is parazo. It's tried to see if you can succeed. The idea is to see if how you'll respond. Now, the old devil tries us to get us to respond wrongly. But the Lord says, I want you to succeed in your trial that you would respond correctly, a way that would honor me. By the way, that is when and the way you and I make the greatest difference in the eyes of people, when we pass a trial with flying colors. Now, I want you to notice back in verse 12, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So we pass through the trials because of the love of God in our hearts. So if you're struggling with some of the trials of life, maybe you ought to look at it and say, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to fall in greater love with you. The secret to great trials being simple things is the love of God. You saw this morning, and I decided to follow Jesus. That was not an easy trial. That's one of the most difficult trials I've ever heard of in my life. But the idea is, how can I do that to the Lord? I'm going to see him. I cannot deny him. And whenever they turn the arrows on him, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, you deny the Lord, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. That's easier to be thrown in the fiery furnace yourself. Although, albeit, that's not easy for any of us to say, okay, throw me in there. I'm ready to die. Christians in America don't have to face that test. But you can pass any test the more you love the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Notice this, for God cannot be tempted. In other words, it is impossible, it's unable, God is unable to face temptation. He is unable because it has no bearing to him. We face temptation and it becomes a temptation to us because we have fleshly desires. God cannot be tempted. He's perfect. He has no available means for temptation. And so he says, God cannot be tempted with evil. He has no desire for evil, no interest in evil. You and I, our flesh does. And that's why we receive temptation and God does not. There's no evil in God, there is in us. We're born in sin. So that's the reason why we face temptation and fail so often. So something has to happen in order for us to start passing our exams, our temptations. And that something that has to happen is we get saved, our heart is changed inside out, and we fall in love with Jesus Christ, and then we can look at the temptation that our flesh wants and say no to it. Now notice, if you would, he said, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God does not tempt you to get you to fall. Never does that happen. Notice, if you would, but every man is tempted. Now, this word here, tempted, is every man is... sometimes it's a temptation that is an allurement. But you'll notice when he is drawn away literally is to drag out of. So Satan uses the desires of our heart, the flesh, to get us to latch hold on things that we ought not to have or want, and drag us to where he wants us to be. That's a lot of times why people get drug into sin, because their desires have never been turned off. They've never said, Lord, I don't want this anymore. They've never taken their thoughts and their dreams and said, Lord, will you take over my thoughts and dreams? I don't want to think this way anymore. I want to be different. Now, notice, if you would, no one in this room has to fall into sin. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians. I want you to see this verse to give you hope. Notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13, famous verse, but let's put it together in this passage with James. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. So in other words, Brother Joe Dill here cannot say, well, I'm facing a temptation. Brother Terry doesn't. And Brother Brandon doesn't. All of us face temptations. That's common to man. Everybody does that. We all have flesh. We all face temptations. Now, some of us, because of our upbringing, and by the way, listen to this, the sins of the fathers shall be visited to the sons and daughters to the third and fourth generation. Some of us face a weakness in our flesh because of the weakness of our parents. They got passed down. You know, we pass down our blue eyes. We pass down our various traits, and we can pass down our anger. We can pass down our lust. We don't think about that much. But some of the temptation your children face are from you and me. That's one of the reasons that I want to defeat the temptations in my life that I can say, Lord, I don't want that anymore, because I don't want to see it in Jeremy and Micah. I want to stop it right here with Dave Pittman. Notice, if you would, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. It gets passed down. Everybody gets it. Now, some people are more susceptible to anger because their father had great anger. Some people are more susceptible to lust because their father was more of a carouser, or their mother was more of a carouser. And so some people face a temptation to covetousness, just like Gehazi, faced temptation to covetousness, and various people in Scripture, Saul. But notice, if you would, he said, but God is faithful. In other words, God is making a promise to everybody in this room, who will not suffer you, do not permit you to be tempted above that you're able. God will always tell Satan, you cannot tempt Vince Nikita any more than he has the ability to say no to that job opportunity, to that lustfulness, to that desire for popularity or fame or whatever it might be. None of us in this room can say, the devil made me do it. All of us can say and have to say, I did it. Because God says, I am faithful as a God, your Father, and I will not permit Satan to tempt you above what you're able to say. I'm not doing that. So whenever you face a temptation, remember, you can say no by God's grace. Everybody in this room, you don't have to lose your temper. You don't have to curse somebody out. You don't have to spend that money. You don't have to. You name it, whatever it might be. You don't have to get bitter. The Lord says, I will not permit Satan to give you a trial, a temptation, and drag you away that's greater than your flesh can say no to. I will not allow it to happen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, aren't you thankful that God promises that to us? I mean, what is that worth? It's worth everything. So God doesn't say, follow me, and say, I'm not going to give you the power to do it. So it's up to us. We have to use God's word and grow past the faults of our families, past the faults of our own flesh, and say, Lord, give me victory. I want to live in victory. Now notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. It's a promise of God that there's a way out of the temptation. Everybody in this room. Now, let's go back to James chapter 1, and notice, if you would, verse 14. But every man is tempted. He is, his flesh and desires are tested when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now, lust, epithumos, is a natural desire that's too great. That's what lust is. He said, of his own lust. So everybody in this room, we have natural desires. I have a desire for food. I have a desire for companionship. I have a desire for a job and stay busy. I have a desire for clothes. I have a desire for transportation, a vehicle. Used to be a horse, now it's cars. I have a desire for a house to live in. I have a desire for, acceptance of people. All those things are natural desires. But he said, if your natural desire to be accepted is too great, you'll do all kinds of things wrong. If your natural desire is to be somebody important, you'll make the wrong decisions. Because Satan will give you a temptation that will drag that fleshly desire out of you. Notice, if you would, he says, but every man is tempted. Every man, all of us in this room, we're tempted, we're drawn away out of our own lust. And you know, the word drawn away is literally lured away. In other words, what you can have is so appealing to you. It is why immorality is so rampant in our society. This man is a lot better than the man you have. This woman is a lot better than the woman you have. I know you're young, but you ought to live together and try living together first. All those temptations, well, everybody's doing it. All those temptations are a part of our natural flesh, and the old devil says, I'm going to drag that out of you. I'm going to get you to do what's wrong. Because I'm going to make the temptation, the girl too pretty, the job too great, the money too much, the appreciation, the respect, just what you want. And the Lord says, look, I'm not going that way. I've got something better for you. Now notice, if you would, when he's drawn away of his own lust, of that which is within us. And that's why we want to learn to yield to the Spirit of God, so that our flesh begins to die slowly. How many of you have ever laid in a bed sick for a while? Anybody here ever done that? Let's say for a couple of weeks or more. Anybody here, a couple of weeks or more? Anybody? When you get out of bed, one of the greatest difficulties you have is getting your strength back. Getting your ability to walk around back. And so what's happened is your physical ability has deteriorated because you've not used it. So when you and I don't use our spiritual abilities, we don't use the Spirit of God to strengthen us, we get weak spiritually. So when the old devil comes and attacks us, we're too weak spiritually to hold off the attack. And we fall into sin. So if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 6. Look with me, if you would, in verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Let not sin be the continual decision that you make. To reign is to rule over. It's the word basileuo. It's to be king over. He said, let not sin be king over you. You have to do what he says. So don't let sin make you do what it wants. Notice this. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust. There it is. The luring thereof. So you and I can make a decision to say no. He said, don't let it. Notice, if you would, verse 13, neither yield ye your members. Now, who is the one that yields? We are. We acquiesce. We say, okay, I'll do it. I don't want to, but okay. We yield. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God. There's the secret. That's the choice. Yield yourself to the Lord, or yield yourself to your flesh and temptations. That's the battleground. It is the fundamental battleground for every Christian, whether you're going to please the Lord or not. It's whether you're going to be a good mate or not. Because the God of heaven says, I want you to treat your mate this way, and this way, and not this way. And so our flesh gets a hold of us, and we get upset about something, and we respond incorrectly. We do somebody wrong, and therefore now what are we going to do? We're in the mess. How do we fix it? Well, I don't want to go back and apologize. And so it gets embittered. It's like a sore. It festers. And we mess everything up. So notice, if you would, in verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not have control over you. Notice, if you would, in verse 16. I got this asterisk in my Bible. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But remember, God said, I will not suffer Satan to have the power to make you do what's wrong. You yield yourself to it. Now let's go back to James. I want you to see this. I'm trying to finish a little early tonight because of the Lord's Supper and that which we have going. But notice, if you would, in verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So when our desires, our lust, our desires that are not bad necessarily, it's nothing wrong with wanting friendship. It's nothing wrong with wanting a husband or a wife. It's nothing wrong with wanting a job. It's nothing wrong with wanting a car or a house. Nothing wrong with that at all until it becomes too great. We think about it too much. We are willing to make compromises and yield to decisions the old devil is dragging us along. He's putting a temptation out there that's a little too tempting, a little too much to say no to, and pretty soon he tempts us and he tempts us and he tempts us. We turn around and look back and say, how did I get here when I was over there in the Lord's will? So notice what he does here in verse 15. He says, then when lust hath conceived, whenever your desire that's too great comes with the decision to yield, that's it. I'm not going to take that one more minute from her. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind when sin is conceived. You know, I wonder, I think about being with somebody better. I think about if I had different parents. I think if I had different, and we think about the wrong things. The thought of foolishness is sin, Proverbs 24:9. So that's where Jesus said, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what happens, the old devil places a thought up here. And your next step is say, no, I'm not thinking that thought. And you blot it out. Then you begin to have victory. But the more you think that thought, the more you yield to sin, the more you're getting drug along because of your desire, your fleshly desire, a temptation, a desire that's too great. So the idea is to take all the desires of your heart and lay them at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, are these okay with you? That's when God could give you a Rolls Royce and it's just going to be a vehicle. He could give you a job that pays you millions of dollars and it's just a job. And all the benefits, you say, Lord, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? You're in connection to the Lord so that all the blessings are used for His glory. That's a part of what I think we're looking at tonight in our business meeting. Don't let the blessings of God drag you away from the presence of God. Because God in His nature is good to us. He's a Father. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have the best of things. He wants you to be happy. He did not design anything in our lives to be miserable. The old devil does. He doesn't bring an ailment to your body. The old devil does. He doesn't bring a pain in your heart. The old devil does. So you and I have to learn to say, Lord, I know this is not from you, but I need your strength to defeat it. And we begin to yield consistently to the Spirit of God. And our life takes on a clean, holy look. Notice, if you would, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Now sin, the word sin, hamartia, is to miss the mark. It's to aim for something and miss it. So I want to please the Lord, but I really want this. And so the old devil pulls us away and we miss the mark of where we're trying to go. We miss the perfect will of God. How many people have missed the perfect will of God due to sin? Now, let me explain this to you. If you have sinned in the past, this area and that area, whatever else, the thing to do is come to the Lord, this altar and your prayer closet and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I don't want that anymore. I want you. Help me to fall in love with you. Give me the strength. Lord, give me the wherewithal to say no to myself that I might say yes to you. Help me to live a holy life. And our life begins to change, and God helps us and strengthens us, and we could have been way over here, But the second we pray and say, Lord, forgive me, I need your strength, he pulls us all the way back over here in the center, perfect center of God's will. That quick. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That quick. That's the blessing of being a Christian. You could live in the most horrendous circumstances of life and come to the end of yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And be brought all the way back in a moment of time. And now we can lead a new life because of the power of God that he gives to us once we make that decision to lay out our desires for him. But if you lay out all your desires but one, the old devil will find that. And he will exploit it. And he'll drag you along by your own desires. Notice, if you would, he said, then lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished. In other words, when sin comes to its complete conclusion, what does it say? Bringeth forth death. It destroys us. There are people that are dead in this life that are living, but they're dead spiritually. I mean, when I say that, picture in your mind death not as something permanent, but of something where we die and only the Lord can raise us up again. We die spiritually. We have no spiritual value. We just can't seem to make the right decisions consistently. And something has to happen in our life where we turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, I yield to you my desires. Lord, here are my desires. You know some of them are too strong. Would you help me fix those? Would you help me change those and bring them back into line to what you want? I wanted a new truck a long time ago when we were building a house, and Susan brought up her grandmother and my mom, and that they needed an elevator in the house to be able to get up and down, because in Texas they don't have two stories a lot, very little of that, mostly one floor. And she wanted her grandmother, who was 97 at the time, to come live with us. And so I had to make the choice. You know, I really want a new truck. Man, I like trucks. Just something about a truck. If you're from Texas, you know, you love your dog and your truck. That's it. Not the mutt in a truck, but you love a big dog in your truck. And then you look at it and say, man, you got to have a truck. And then I get this yellow thing. I mean, it's like I said, okay, Lord, I'll yield. I'll put this in for my mother and my wife's grandmother. We'll do that. Now, did you know both of them passed away and never used an elevator once? But my wife did. So God knew what he was doing. So I think back now, what if I'd have bought that truck? My wife been in a house in a wheelchair with no way to get to the shower. No way to get to her bedroom. I look back on it and say, Lord, how do I say thank you? Now, I got that old yellow truck, but you know what? That old yellow truck, it never breaks down. It always starts. It always runs. And I am so thankful for it. I really am. Now, I diss on it every once in a while. I go out there and see that yellow banana, but I like it now. I look at it and I say, Lord, thank you. And I'm reminded, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Such a blessing. And you know, yellow's kind of come around to be kind of cool now, you know. You drive something yellow, you see yellow Corvettes, and you see yellow this and that. And so I said, okay, Lord, thank you. But I think back on what would it have been had I made one simple decision. Lord, I want a truck. I've waited a long time for a truck. I'd like to get a truck, Lord. You know what? The Lord says, not yet. And so we have to say, Lord, okay. Okay. Maybe you want this thing or that thing. And you have to say, not yet. And the Lord says, not yet. And you say, okay. Now, he may give it to you the next week. But the idea is that you and I yield to him so that our desires don't become too great where we get what we want and not what he wants. Now, notice with me, if you would, in verse 15, he says, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, let me give you death. To me, it would be death if my sins got passed down to Malachi. I'd rather just die. Lord, take me to heaven before that happens. I just can't live with that. No matter what it is, I want it changed. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it in Jeremy. Lord, tell me what it is. I'll change anything. I don't want to see that. But you know, worse than that, most of all, Lord, I don't want to hurt you. I want you to know I love you so much, I'll change anything. It's amazing to me that at the beginning of this passage, he tells us a secret to saying no, and that is to them that love him. Tonight, if you're struggling with sin, you need to come and lay your desires on the altar and say, Lord, help me to love you more. That's the secret. When you love somebody, nothing is too great. When you love someone, you'd cut out your heart to give it to them if you could. And so the Lord says, I don't want your heart cut out. I just want your desires to be in line and your will to be mine. Will you follow me? Now then notice the last verse, verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know what the word err is? Do not be led astray. Do not be duped. Do not be tricked. Do you understand the old devil is out to trick you? Literally, it is this. It's planao. It's to be seduced to go astray. It's to be offered something you want that God doesn't want you to have to lead you out of the will of God. So he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. How many teenagers have erred over a girlfriend or a boyfriend? How many teenagers have erred over the desire to be noticed? How many husbands and wives have erred over the desire to have more? How many of us have erred, fill in the blank? Tonight he says, my beloved, don't err. Don't let the old devil lure you out of that which is right. And I want to explain this to you. You and I don't live not to sin. We don't look at all the things of this life and say, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. Learn to live. Lord, I love you, and I want to please you. When you fall in love with Christ and want to please him, all these things you're not supposed to do, you don't even think about it anymore because you love him. When you fall in love with something or someone, all of the things that you're not supposed to have go away. So tonight, learn to live in the love of Christ, and your life can clean up. And you can live a holy, pleasing life to Christ. That's the reason he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. You know what he's saying? You don't have to. It's a choice. Choose the right thing tonight. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here tonight and you just need to surrender that one thing that's too great a desire. I don't know what it is, but if the Holy Spirit's touching your heart, give it to him tonight. Do you love the Lord enough to give him any desire in your heart? Give it to him. He's worth it. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Help us to give you anything you ask for. In your precious name we pray.